Would you stand with me for a moment, and we'll turn to Romans chapter 4 for our teaching today. Let's rejoice in the Lord. I mean, we are, and that song helped us. That was a great song, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a good one. Romans 4. Let's say, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Just turn to your neighbor and just say, thank you, Jesus, for my neighbor. Put your hand on them and just say, thank you, Jesus, for my neighbor. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister, my brother. Okay. All right. When we got saved, when we were saved, when we accepted Christ, we believed in Christ, and he saved us. That actually happened at a point in time. We got saved by the grace of God. What did we do for that? We believed. Yeah, we believed. We just trusted. We trusted, and then God saved us. How much did he save us? 1% or 2 or 10? How do you feel today? I feel like a 10%er. Like I got saved 10%, okay? No, what does the Bible teach? We have been made righteous. How righteous? 100%. We can say totally righteous. As righteous as Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, Romans 4, by faith, without the law, without any works. This is very important. This is called justification. This is salvation. This is the work of grace. It's 100%. So are you saved? All right. If I am, I am. Does that make sense? If I am, I am. Not partially. I'm all the way in. You may be seated. Here's an example. You're in Egypt. You're Jewish. Moses said, put the blood on the doorposts. So the man of the house, he puts the door on the blood, the blood on the doorposts, the blood on the doorposts, and the death angel passes over. And what does the death angel, what does he do when he sees the blood? Passes over that house. But how about in the house, there's a worried mother. She's a worried mother. What is she worried about? Her child, firstborn, is in the crib or on the floor, just sleeping there, and the mother is worried. What does the death angels think? How does the death angel calculate? If he sees the blood, he passes over. Doesn't matter if the woman is worried about it. That's not the criteria. The criteria was that the blood was on the doorposts. That was all it is. If you're in unbelief and you're worried about your salvation or you're worried about God judging you, it has no power over the fact that blood has been put on your doorposts, that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the whole thing. You see that? All right, look at Romans. We can look at the end of Romans 3. I just have two things to say this morning. One is about salvation, which we're saying right now, and the second thing, sanctification. So we have here in chapter 4, but I want you to look at 3. I'm sorry, I said 4. 4 is great too, but I want you to notice this verse in chapter 3, verse 26. to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. You see, I believe in Jesus, I trust Jesus, but I got to say that sometimes I'm very emotional. Sometimes I'm very discouraged. By the way, I got a verse yesterday, James 3:2, in many ways we offend all. Many ways we mess up. Many ways we sin. In many ways. Are we still sinners? 1 John 1:9, 1:10, yes. I think that's comforting to me. I am a sinner. How about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Forgive us our trespasses. Why are we saying forgive us our trespasses? As we say this prayer, why are we still saying forgive us our trespasses? Because we are still sinning. God forbid that we would, but we do. We are sinners. But am I saved? I'm saved. I've been justified as a sinner. As a sinner. Incredible. Romans 5. When we were without strength, he saved us. You see, I got saved. I was Catholic, brought up Catholic. I got saved when I was 19 years old. I started to go to a Pentecostal church, and there I learned I could lose my salvation. I moved away. I'm from New York. I moved up to Maine by the providence of God, and I ended up meeting Dr. Stevens in this ministry. And he said, you can't lose your salvation using the Bible and the Bible verses. So I had some Bible verses that I thought you could lose it. And then I had Bible verses. I had about 80 of these. You can lose your salvation. 120 verses, you can't lose your salvation. So I said, what is it? So I'm listening and I'm learning, and it took me a year and a half because I'm a quick learner. It took me a year and a half to sort it out and figure it out. And this is where I stand. I have no doubt, I believe that our Heavenly Father, if he saved me when I was without strength, when I was without covenant and without promise, that when I was all as a complete, absolute sinful person, he saved me by his grace. He imputed his righteousness to us legally. And yes, we have our issues. We fail and struggle in different areas of life. That is true. But if you are saved, and I'm not saying everybody that says they are. I don't know that. God knows them that are his. But if you are saved, you don't lose it. But if you seem to have something, he can take it away. What you seem to have, Luke 8, verse 18. Don't fool around. Be serious about it and grow in it. That's the second part of the message. First part still, Romans 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. We have nothing to boast in except in God. He did it. It wasn't your good looks. It wasn't your sincerity. It wasn't your honesty. It wasn't your behaviors. It wasn't your good works. It wasn't your legalism. It wasn't your good intentions. It was the grace of God that drew you to that point where you said, I need God to save me. Jonah 2, verses 8 and 9. Salvation is of God by his grace. And he saved you through Jesus Christ. He made you righteous. You are accepted by God. You are seated in heavenly places. You have died with Christ and been raised with him. For us to live is Christ. To die is gain. Isn't that great? We go from this world, which isn't all that bad, to a better one, much better one. And that day is coming by, you know, in his timing. Okay. Now look at Romans. We have Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5. Very good chapters. This gift of salvation by one man, Christ. Chapter 5, verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. By the obedience of one, and that was him. So there we have. In the beginning of the book of Romans, we have an amazing teaching about our lost nature and then our justification. Romans 3, 4, and 5. And this is our salvation. It happened. It's done. We are in the family. Praise God. Our name is in the book of life. I want you to be secure in your salvation because it helps in our relationship with God. If I can always think that God will never leave me, never forsake me, God will never cast me out, of all that the Father has given me, I have lost none, John 6:37. No man can pluck you out of my hand, John 10:28. Nobody can pluck you out of my Father's hand, John 10, verse 29. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. He's not in and out like a hotel room, but we are his temple. He is with us. He lives in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, permanent dwelling place, abiding in us forever. Our bodies, we will leave our spirit, we'll be leaving our body in Psalm 90, verse 10, we will fly away. Our body will be buried, but even our body will be resurrected and glorified. Of all that God has given in who you are, nothing is lost, body, spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Salvation. It's one of the most amazing things we could ever understand. We are saved. You know, when you evangelize, this is important. That somebody, you say to somebody, you should believe in Jesus. He'll forgive you of your sins. And they could counter and say, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. And they say, are you going to go to heaven when you die? I don't know. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? And you say, I hope so. Or are you saying, these things are written so we may know we have eternal life? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. So, knowing our Bible and learning it and enjoying it, it's great. Number two, sanctification. This word means, it's the action of setting, I'm reading a definition, something or someone apart as holy, purifying it, dedicating it to God's service. We are in need of God's sanctifying grace to be made holy as God is holy. Consecration, calling, and holiness are related terms that help us to understand the biblical concept of sanctification. This is process. I wonder if you feel in your heart and in your life that your life has improved. I wonder if you have sensed the holiness of God and you actually kind of feel that you are growing, that you are changing, that you are increasing in God. Major Ian Thomas said, to be in Christ, that's redemption. But for Christ to be in you, that is sanctification. I think maybe I would say it this way. Christ saving us, 100%, done. Now, my life, my direction, my sense of We used it this morning, stability, like a gyroscope, if you've ever played with one. It's a wheel within a wheel. You know, that wheel on the inside that's spinning, and you can put the gyroscope on its axis on an edge, and it has this sense of balance by the physics of it. And you know, it's hard to knock it over. It just kind of is able to adjust itself because of that wheel spinning on the inside. I like to think of sanctification as something that I want because I want stability in my life, because my life can go upside down or sideways. But as it goes sideways on the exterior, I would like to have a sense of sanctification on the inside, that God is at work in us. So we want to look at the scripture regarding that and make some brief outlines here. Turn with me to Romans 6. Somebody could say, oh, I am saved, therefore I can sin. That's Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then to this teaching that you are saved by grace, you are justified by his blood, that God did it? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? In verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Somebody could say, I'll just sin, and that'll show God will give me grace as I sin, and I can live like that, and that'll be a testimony of God's grace, that as I am sinning, he is also forgiving me. That is one way to think about it, and you can think about it that way, but there's problems with it. Sin is not my friend. It's like poison. Sin steals from me my creativity. It steals from me my joy, my hope, my sense of well-being. Sin steals from me. Sin is not a good thing. It produces death in me. So I may do it. Go ahead. Everybody in the world is doing it. I mean, it's our nature. We are sinners. But we have to ask the question, did God save me so that I would live in sin? Or did God save me so that I would be sanctified? That I would be different? That I would be holy? That I would have joy, peace, life? That I would have, you know, as we'll look in a minute, at all these great words. Look at verse 2, Romans 6, 2. And God forbid that I would do this. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What a great argument. You died. What? You died to sin. When? When Christ was crucified. What? Yeah, the doctrine teaches that when Christ died, you died too. What do you mean? I don't feel like I died. Yes, I know. But if you live by faith, and you mix faith with what God is saying, the Holy Spirit will give you victory over, authority over your sin nature. This is sanctification. Your life will actually change. You actually have authority over the enemy that is within my sin, that is in my heart. It kind of bubbles up every day. Have you noticed that? The bubbling up of your sin nature that happens just about every day. What it means to lie or cheat or have sexual imagination or say things or resent somebody or be jealous or have hatred or envious of people. And how all of that messes up our relationships with people. How could a man who is impure in his heart and mind work in an office, work at the hospital, work at a police station, work at a school, if he's constantly dealing with impurities in his mind and in his heart? Is there a better way to live? And Paul says, there is. Christ did it. He not only saved you so one day you'll go to heaven, but actually he saved you so that now in this life, he would be making a difference in your life. He would be giving you what he came into the world to give you, God. Look at chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? No, I didn't know that. By the way, this is incredible that it's not preached in churches. I went to church for 19 years. I never heard that. I never knew that. Or if it was said, it was never meant. It was never said in any sense of reality and application, in any sense of forcefulness that, hold it, this is real. That we died with Christ. Look at verse 3. Don't you know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? I didn't know that. Was I baptized into his death? Yes, I was. Oh, tell me. What does it mean? Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Do you mean water baptism? No, it's not that. It's like you're going into it. You are in it. You are in it. You are baptized into death. You mean when he died, I died too. When he rose, I rose too. Yes, that's what it means. Well, what if I believe this? Well, then the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is operating, that we are being sanctified. And if you drew a line like a graph, I got saved, then my life of sanctification, I have ups and I have downs, I have unbelief and fear, and then I find my way, I kind of start to listen to what God is saying, and I start to believe what God is saying to me. As I start to believe what God is saying, I sense I have a day of joy or a week of it. A week of joy. A week of freedom. A week of, like, I don't know. My sin nature kind of bubbles up in me, but I kind of ignore it now because my eyes are on something else. I'm not acting on my sin that bubbles up in my heart. I'm like not liking it, all right? I kind of ignore it, or I don't pay attention to it. I get my eyes focused on the truth, and I make a big deal about it. I build my life on it. I start to trust in it, just like sitting in a chair. Like, I'm just going to take this thing, and I'm going to put all my weight on it. I'm in it. I'm believing it. Like a frozen lake in Finland. Like, it's 10 miles to the bridge, but in the winter, you can cut the 10 miles off by just driving across the frozen lake. And the road goes right across the lake. And cars and trucks, they go right across the frozen lake. I'm not doing it because I got a new car. I'm not doing it because I got a new car. That's like a believer. They say they will read it in church, but will they believe it on a Monday morning? They'll read it in their devotional, but can they trust God when they're in trouble? This is all of our challenges, right? This is it. Go to the next one, verse. We'll put the verse 4, the next part of it. We're buried with him. into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I have a little list here of things that happen when you have newness of life. And I want everybody in this room to talk to yourself and believe this, that you have newness of life. You have life now. Life. Like people coming into our church and some visitors come in and I meet them after, and maybe they come again and keep coming. And I say, what is it you like about this place? And they say, there's love here. Or, I don't know, it's alive. That people are, it's fascinating. They say, I understand what you're saying in the pulpit. There are many like ways that we could say that these are the things that attract us, and we could say it by using this phrase. It's newness of life, not the same old. It's newness, not only once, but for years and years, and indeed for eternity. It's newness of life. It goes on and on. Here's some verses for it. Number one, newness of life means a new kind of knowledge. You increase in knowledge and judgment in Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11. You are filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding, Colossians 1, 9 to 11. You might say, Pastor, I don't know, that's not happening to me yet. I'd say it will happen. It's a guarantee. It's part of the sanctification that God wants to set us. He has set us apart through Christ for this purpose of actually changing, having changes. And one of the changes in this area of your being is intellectually and in the area of knowledge. You're going to increase in the knowledge of God. Hosea 6 and verse 3. Number two, the newness of life affects your emotions. The peace of God rules in your heart, Colossians 3, verse 15. The peace of God. You'll increase, number three, your conscience will not bother you. Your conscience will not bother you like it used to. Hebrews 9, 14. Somehow you don't have the consciousness of your failure or your personal sin. You have forgotten it. You forget it. You don't live there. You don't live in regret. Regret is a big thing in the hearts of men and people, men and women. We are sanctified. Do you have a conscience? I do, and it's alive. There are things that may bother me. But I the peace of God, how about this? 1 John 3, 18 and 19. If my heart offends me, God is greater than my heart. God is greater than what troubles me in my conscience. What is happening? We are being sanctified in our soul, in our spirit, and in our body. It's affecting us. The Holy Spirit is affecting us. It's the wheel within the wheel. It's that gyroscope that doesn't fall over that easily unless it stops. When it stops, it falls over. When that wheel is spinning, it's like our life with God. When we are believing God, trusting in God, that wheel on the inside, and we don't fall over that easily. Because there's a sanctification that is happening in a very practical way in our, I got three areas so far, in our intellect, our knowledge, in our emotion, and in our conscience. Another area that you're affected in is in your decision making. Making decisions. You're able to do it. You're able to make decisions. It's like fun. It's fun to say yes, and it's fun to say no. Not going to happen. That's fun. Where did I get that from? You know, no. Like, practice it. No. No, not going to happen. No, I don't do that. No, I don't care about that. No, that's not me. That's not mine. I don't do that. I don't live like that. I live like this. This is the way I'm living. How do you get that fire in your belly? How do you get that kind of sense of right and wrong? How do you get that sense of God? What about truth in our heart and mind? How does this happen? This is sanctification that is happening. This is healthy for us. This is our newness of life. Where do we get it? Jesus gave it to us. Newness of life. That's what it says. Decision making. Yeah. A couple more. What was that? That was number, that was four, number five. Here it is. Sanctification will affect my relationships with people. How come? Because I'm at peace. I don't have a private agenda where I'm pushing people around. I'm not manipulating people like I did before, somebody could say. I'm at peace. I'm not ready. I got a trigger, a hair trigger, right? Hair trigger, just a little little pressure on that trigger, and the gun goes off. Well, people are like that emotionally and psychologically. Put them in the right situation, or put them in that situation, and they're ready to get in an argument, they're ready to fight, they're ready to drop the gloves, they're ready to jump on the pile, they're ready to go at it. But when we are being sanctified by God, our relationships are nurtured by our kindness, our love, our faith, our prayers. We're able to just be, you know, easier to be with. Where'd that come from? That's our growth. I used to fight, but now I don't do that anymore. What happened? I am growing. I used to be indifferent, passive, didn't learn anything, didn't care about learning, but now I'm like learning. I'm like growing. I'm interested. There's something going on in my heart and in my mind. Where'd that come from? That's sanctification. Christ is doing that. Like we spent the weekend together, a lot of us, some couple hundred people, we had graduations and some hundreds of people actually, and parties and all of this. And I just sat back and watched and enjoyed to see that this is just something we enjoy. Because we are being sanctified by the work of grace. And then one, I've got two more. One more is body life. Body life is a part of this sanctification. Because a little bit of you will rub off a little bit on me. And a little bit of me is going to rub off on a little bit of you. And multiply that around the body, and you have people on the sidewalk, on the deck, on the phone, in a prayer meeting. You find people talking about Christ and encouraging, and somebody's telling a story and giving a testimony. And you know that yesterday in the graduation, Pastor Steve Andrelonis introduced me as a guest speaker. And he used my family as an illustration of something that is amazing. And it is in 1975, I went as a single guy to Finland. I got married in 1976. My wife and I went back to Finland right after we got married. Then a couple of years later, our daughter Bethany was born in Finland. Years fast forward, Bethany has a family. She has a child, Mika. But when we lived in Finland, we had a disciple, Jussi Holopainen, and he had a son, Bensku, and they're getting married this summer. And when I went as a missionary in 1975, did I have any idea that one day my granddaughter would marry one of my disciples' sons, right, over in Finland, and on the story goes. Do you know, that's a beautiful story that can be told because of a 40 or 50 year period of time. But we all have this. As we live longer, we will say sanctification is such a treasure for us because it affects our lives in so many ways, even beyond what we could imagine or think. As you live with God today, it's going to affect your life tomorrow. As you invest in what God is saying to you today, then God is going to do something in the future. And nobody has any control over this except our Heavenly Father, who is saying, I not only saved you, but I've given you a new life, and I want you to walk in that new life. And I'm going to make that happen. Trust me. The last point, was it number 5? I've lost my count. What? 6, okay. The Holy Spirit, who is sanctifying us, affects our bodies. It affects our physical body. Where is that written in the Bible? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He sanctifies us by a spirit, soul, and body. I would that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. In this 3 John. Proverbs says that the word of God is health to our bones. I honestly believe that our physical body is under the influence of God Almighty, who made Moses' face to shine, and his face was not abated when he was 120 years old. God is saying, I will give you strength. It'll affect your body. That wheel spinning on the inside, that desire that you have, that guidance that you have, that understanding, that rejoicing, that peace that you have, that love that you have, that forgiveness that you have in your spirit and in your heart will affect your blood pressure, red blood cells, white blood cells. I'm making all this up. It'll affect your bones and your liver and your heart and your brain and your nervous system. It'll affect your whole body, however that is. And I'm not saying I know. I just know that the Bible says that it is health for our flesh. Amen. Isn't that good? Okay, so I got one short list here. What is my motive for sanctification? And I'm done. What is our motive? Why do I do it? Why do I want it? Here's a good, honest list. I want a deeper walk with the living God. I want to know God. I want to have a deeper walk in my life. So I want to be available to Him. Number 2, I want to have peace and joy in my life. And to be honest, I think only God can give me the peace and joy that I'm looking for. Hey, a Friday night, that's nothing compared to all week long having peace and joy. Hey, a binge thing or a flash in the pan, go for it. Do whatever you want to do. You'll never have what we've got when it comes to God giving you peace in the morning, joy in the nighttime, guidance in your life, and a relationship with Him. Number 3. It glorifies God when you go after God and you say, I want to know you. You're glorifying God. Number what's it, 1, 2, 3, 4. Rewards. There are rewards. It's not egotistical, phony, like rewards. It's nothing like that. It's of a higher, more noble nature. It's when somebody recognizes you. It's when somebody has honor toward you, that God honors you, that God rewards you. When you go into a closet and pray secretly, nobody knows you, and then you come out and the blessing is there, and it says, I will bless you openly. What you do in secret will be rewarded openly. How did that happen? It was God that did that. How? Because you are sanctified by him. Then another motive, why not be more effective in life? Why not increase your effectiveness by being sanctified? Why not have a better conversation? Why not have a better kind of outreach? Why not have an increase in faith? Why not go to be a blessing in the church? By the way, when we come here, I think you expect us pastors to be prepared for the service. And I want to add to that, I would like you to enjoy the service by you being prepared before you come. Come and bring your holiness with you. And come and bring your heart and mind. And come and bring your tagged, ragged self too. Whatever you do, come. Because the body of Christ is part of your sanctification. Amen. And then the last one is, it's great to live with a clear conscience and to say that we're doing what we can. And one day we will see him. And it'll be fun to think in our hearts, we did walk with him. We were a minority. Not everybody did it. I lost friends, but I gained other friends. I lost some time, but I gained eternity. I lost an opportunity, but I gained a whole world that was with God, and God gave me more than what I could ask or think. He is good to us. So he has saved us, and now he is sanctifying us, and we are living like this, and we are enjoying it. Amen. If you're here this morning and you'd like a new life, Jesus came to give that to you. You may say, not me, you have no idea. And yes, yes, we know. We've all said those words, or many of us have. I don't think it's me. I don't know. And we're saying, oh, it has to be you. It has to be you. You are the one. God came for you. And say in your heart to him, Lord Jesus Christ, I put my trust in you as my Savior. Say it just by faith. Put your trust in him like the Bible says. And you are born again. You are a child of God, adopted into the family, forgiven, made righteous immediately by your simple trust in him. And then walk with him and he will sanctify you. And then one day we will leave our mortal body and be in the presence of God forever without our sin nature. Until then, we live with it. But we heard today it does not have dominion. We learn to confess our sin and be updated with God by faith and walk with him and experience this sanctification. In Jesus' name, amen.